Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Varadhari. Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tiravana Chari. Jamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Stathata Sapta Shishimad. His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki. Pensego Host Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Shivas Adigaur Bhaktivedanta Ki. Shishi Radha Krishna Go Gopagopina Shamakunda Radha Kundigiri Gopadhana Ki. Shri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki, Shri Mayapur Dhamma Ki, Ganga Maya Ki, Jamuna Maya Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Tulasi Devi Ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Gurushi Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Satatra Nirmukta Samastha Sangha Atmanubhutya Viduta Trilinga Pare Male Brahmani Vasudeve Lebhe Gatim Bhagavatim Pratita Satatra Nirmukta Samasta Sangha. Atmanubhutya Viduta Trilinga Pare male Brahmani Vasudeve. Lebhe gatim Bhagavatim Pratita. Satatra Nirmukta Samasta Sangha. Atmanubhutya Viruta Trilinga. Pare male Brahmani Vasudeve. Lebhe gatim bhagavatim pratita. Sah Maharaj Yayati. Tatra, upon doing this, Niramukta was immediately liberated from. Samasta Sangaha, all contamination. Atma Anubhuya, simply by understanding his constitutional position. Viduta was cleansed of Trilinga, the contamination caused by the three motes of material nature, Sattvaguna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna. Pare, unto the transcendence. Amale, without material contact. Brahmani, the Supreme Lord. Vasudeve, Vasudeva. Krishna, the Absolute Truth. Bhagavan, Lebhe, achieved. Gatim, the destination. Bhagavatim, as an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pratita, famous. Translation. Because King Yayati completely surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, he was free from all contamination of the material modes of nature. Because of his self-realization, he was able to fix his mind upon the transcendence, part of Brahman, Vasudeva, and thus he immediately achieved the position of an associate of the Lord. Purport. The word viduta, meaning cleansed, is very significant. Everyone in this material world is contaminated. Karanam guna sango sya. Because we are in a material condition, we are contaminated either by sattva-guna, by rajaguna, or by tamaguna. Even if one becomes a qualified brahman in the mode of goodness, sattva-guna, he is still materially contaminated. One must come to the platform of shuddha-sattva, transcending the sattva-guna. Then one is viduta-trilinga, cleansed of the contamination caused by the three modes of material nature. This is possible by the mercy of Krishna, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17. Srinvatam svakata krishnas punya shravana kirtanaha hridyantya sto hyabhadrani viruhnoti suritsatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul, in everyone's heart, and benefactor of the truthful devotees, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. End quote. A person trying to be perfectly Krishna conscious by hearing the words of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita certainly has all the dirty things cleansed from the core of his heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. The process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord washes away the dirty things accumulated in the core of the heart. As soon as one is freed from all the dirt of material contamination, as Maharaj Yayati was, one's original position as an associate of the Lord is revealed. This is called Sarup Siddhi, or personal perfection. So Yayati Maharaj here is then coming to this platform of devotional service, pure devotional service. He's taking up a position as the Lord's associate. So this is happening because he surrendered to the Lord. Because he surrenders, he's purified. In that purified state, then he can actually see his position. He can understand who he is. So the essential point here is the surrender to Krishna. Why do you surrender to Krishna? What it gives them in that ability, that one has that interest or that desire. So by having that desire, then Krishna, by his blessing, you become freed from all contamination. By this, then you're able to surrender to the Lord. Does that make sense? And understand one's position. So that comes by association of devotees. It doesn't have another process. So depending upon your taking this seriously and surrendering, then we see, then Krishna reciprocates, the heart is purified, then we're able to take up that process very properly, and having taken that surrender, Krishna then reciprocates, and then one understands one's relation with Krishna. So there is no material situation, no material process that can generate this. When Yayati is going, he's taking the youth of his son, he's enjoying himself for 1,000 years. This is not producing bhakti, this is not producing faith. It has to be very clear about that. Because sometimes we'll try to say, yes, but what I'm doing without that, I wouldn't be engaged in devotional service, as if karma actually has something to do with devotional service. So we have to be very careful about these things. As we have to understand is that what is happening here? By, he's thinking there's something in sense gratification, but he has a doubt, right? Because he is trained, so he knows that actually there isn't any. There's no satisfaction. But he still has that idea that, well, if it was like this or that, then maybe. So he has the knowledge, but not the realization. So by taking his son's youth, then he's able to apply himself and then very clearly see there is no satisfaction. Right? Does that make sense? That's the whole point. There isn't any satisfaction. That's just the way it is, right? So then, appreciating that, then what does that leave? Because he has knowledge, he's had associate. Then he takes up that desire to surrender to the Lord. Right? Then to serve the Lord. Then by Krishna's grace, he becomes purified so that he's able to accomplish that surrender and take up a position as the Lord's associate. So this is what's happening in the process. That's why this story is important. Because it shows that it's surrender to Krishna that makes everything work properly. The idea that all these other religious activities, they're the actually dynamic thing. No, they're just there so that you come to the point of understanding only bhakti works. Only surrender to Krishna works. Other things don't work. That's the importance of them. Does that make sense? That's the whole idea. Because here we're in ninth canto. We're getting ready for Krishna's pastime. So it has to be very clear. And so one's engaged in sense gratification only because we think it's of value. Not that it is of value. That's very important to note. We can say is no, but unless I situate myself here, I can't be situated in devotional service. I'll get distracted. That may be true for you. For the individual, but it's not necessary for bhakti. Right? You know, just like let's say we have a dog. Okay? Dog wants to lay down. Do they just lay down? No, they have to go around in a circle three times, then they'll lay down. Everybody else just lays down. Right? The other hands just come along, flop on the ground. That's it. Dogs have to go in a circle. Why? That's just dog stuff. Right? So this idea that, yes, we need to engage the senses, we need to do all these things, that's for us because we're conditioned that there is some value here. Right? So Krishna is very kind. He gives us this process of karma yoga and jnana yoga so that we can try. But at the end, you see, is there's nothing but pure devotion is of any value. These other things don't give any satisfaction. So, therefore, in the karma yoga, the part that's nice is the yoga part, not the karma part. The activities and all that, that's not what gives the satisfaction. It's the connection to Krishna that gives the satisfaction. So with time, you start to see that, if you're aware. If you just take it for granted, I have to do this, you'll never become aware. Because you don't want to, because when you become aware, it stops. Because as you see, as he becomes aware, he just drops it because there's no value. Does that make sense? See, he just gives it up. But we see the culture of it. It's very nice. He goes, discusses it with his wife. There's an understanding like that. He turns everything over to his son. He sets everything up nicely. And then he moves on. Does that make sense? So that's the point is that this process, as Krishna gives it, the dynamic part is the connection to Krishna, not the religious part itself. It's only called religion because it's useful and can be engaged in Krishna's service. But on its own, it's just pious and it will keep you here. But when it's connected to Krishna, it's the connection to Krishna that is the part that works. Right? Not the religious part. People have been following religious things for, you know, millions of years, and they're still here. Right? We're a good example of that. Right? But when it's connected to Krishna, then it gets you out. So we're used to karma, we're used to jnana. So Krishna said, here's karma, yoga, jnana, yoga, use them. But it's the connection to Krishna that's dynamic. And then by that, then one will get purified. Then one sees pure devotion is actually the process. The other things aren't really very important. So that's the, yes. So this is what we should learn from his pastime. Not that you go ask your son for, his youth, and you use it for 1,000 years, even though you're only going to live for less than that, and then next lifetime, can I have it back? No, 1,000 years, you know, like that. Yeah, we don't do that part. We just know that whatever we have, we use to the best of our ability. That's what Yayati did. He took that youth, he used it to the best of his ability, and engaged himself. So when we see is that it's about this engagement in the Lord's service, then we engage ourselves to our best of our ability. We take that conditioning, we connect it to Krishna according to authority. But the idea is that sincere, you're trying to please Krishna, not you just connect and it's not about Krishna. We have to remember the karmis do that, at least those who follow the Vedic. Karma means you're taking the activities that are actually meant as bhakti and using them because of the benefits you'll get for karma. Does that make sense? Just like this. See, is that we've all heard that in karma and jnana, they only work because of bhakti. Right? And then we're saying, but they're not devotional. Why is that there? And so we can look at it from an indirect way. Yes, that they're devotional means that they have to devote themselves to that religious process. They have to be sincere about their study or their work or their relationships. And that devotion then is what we're talking about. Why? Why would it be devotion? Because Krishna is those things. If one's devoted to one's work, Krishna is money. He is the process of economics. He is the reason that economic processes give results. Otherwise, why should they give results? Right? You put your toast in the toaster and it pops up. You don't get, it's not money pops up. Right? Unless you have a toaster, you're sitting down on the sidewalk and you're making toast and selling it, you know, but that might not work here. You'd probably have to go to Surat to do that, right? Then you could make money. But I would also recommend putting like an aloo paddy on top, some masala and stuff like that. Then you'll do good. But the point is you have to follow the process of business. Krishna is business. So you are devoted. But it's not direct devotion because the intention is not pure devotion. Right? The intention is profit. But since it's all Krishna and you cannot get anything without Krishna's sanction, pleasing Krishna as business, therefore he reciprocates with you as profit, not as bhakti. Even though you've used the process of bhakti, you've only used it to get the profit, so that's all you'll get. You're not recognizing that it will give you pure devotion. So since you're dealing with it as indirect, Krishna reciprocates with the indirect. Right? Money is indirect. Service to Krishna, that's direct. Right? Does that make sense? So that's on one level we can look at it. Now another level we can look at it is that why do we call these activities religious or pious? Right? Because these are the activities of devotional service. And so Krishna has worked those into the pious person's activities. Right? Like in devotional service, first thing you have to do is find a guru. Right? Then the process starts to work. Now, if you want to be successful at karma, right, you still need a guru. Right? You know, you have to have knowledge. So we study Shastra, but about devotion. They study Shastra, but not necessarily about devotion, the secondary aspects. Somebody says Dharma Shastra, Artha Shastra, Niti Shastra, you know, whatever it is that they're interested in. Does that make sense? You have to lead a regulated life in devotional service. Right? And so, in their pious life, in the mode of good, they lead a regulated life. They get up in the Brahma Muhurta, they do their take their bath, they do the puja. So the lifestyle is the same as a devotee. But it's called varnashram, or it's called, you know, studying the scriptures, or austerity, or it has all these different names that Prahlad Maharaj mentions. You understand? So it's the same activities, just their intent is different. Right? Because they're performing the devotional activity to please Krishna, either directly or indirectly, but they want the material benefit. Now, certain people, they're going to serve the Lord. I mean, they're going to serve that aspect. Let's go back to the business one. They serve business. They serve economics very nicely, according to the rules as Krishna gives how it works. Then Krishna will reciprocate his money, and they'll do well. Right? So they don't see it they don't see that they're worshiping the Lord, though they are. So that's why it works even for people who don't even know about the Vedas, don't even know about devotional service. They may be follow the Vedas, not know about devotional service, not follow the Vedas, not know about devotional service. But they will advance in money because they're following the rules. Right? Does that make sense? Now, you take it that, let's say there are those who worship the Lord. So in one sense, we call them devotees. But they're ordinary devotees because they're not taking up, they don't have that Shraddha or faith in pure devotional service. That's the only process. So they have faith in karma, but they have faith in the Lord also. But in this case, why is it still just karma? Right? You can call it karma yoga, but why is it karma here? Because worship of the Lord is not the primary aspect. And then the other arnashram and all these things are secondary. No, worship of the Lord is also an anga, is also a branch or limb of their karma. In other words, they have a guru, they regulate their life, they study the shastra, they worship God. It's all part of the different things they give in charity. That it's just an anga of their karma. Does that make sense? So that again is why we wouldn't call them devotees. But if you're looking in the broader sense, yes, they're interested. If you mention them as devotees, they'll accept that. And because they're devotees, therefore the actual devotees, sampradayak, come over, do kirtan, distribute prasad, give lectures, they'll listen to it because they see themselves as devotees. Does that make sense? But for them, devotional service is just a part of their material life. But they're in a better position than those who don't know about God and don't know about His supreme position. So they'll do better. They'll even have more facility. Does that make sense? But those who then have faith, where it's about Krishna, about devotional service, having that faith, or what we would call the devotional process, then Shraddha, that then situates them in the devotional process, even though the faith may be quite weak. So they're beginning in devotional service, then by association continued, then they become serious, they take up the process seriously, then from that they become purified by Krishna's grace, because as you surrender to Krishna, you become purified. Then when that becomes steady, now their faith becomes that steady, and they move forward. Does that make sense? So we see that Yayati then, having gone through this aspect of karma, then he is able to appreciate that there's nothing here, only devotional service. So that's what karma yoga is for. Karma yoga is to make you understand no activity and its result have any value other than its service to Krishna. Jnana yoga, no knowledge has any value or benefit for the living entity except for service to Krishna. That faith, that's then what will give this result as Yayati gets. And then one achieves a liberation. But here liberation just means you're going beyond the material energy. But how do you go beyond the material energy that you don't come back? That's what Prabhupada says. You establish your position as a servant of the Lord. So in that position of Sarup Siddhi, that you're serving the Lord now, not within the material energy, that's perfect. That's liberation. So that's then what Maharaj Yayati was able to gain. But any questions or comments on this? No? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Now we that know that we have this process, we have our spiritual master, everything is there, but how to maintain the hope that we will get out of this material world? Maintain the hope that yes, it is.
How will we have the hope? Okay, so now if we look at it, how to have the hope that we'll get out of here and go back to Godhead, right? So this by following the devotional process, right? Is that what you're saying? As opposed to like bungee jumping or something else. Or
sometimes looking at the anarthas in the heart, looking at how much anarthas are there within the heart,
okay,
I become hopeless that will I ever be able to make it in this lifetime.
Okay. Let us say you have a nice, yet 12 gram solid gold ring. Okay, you can relate to that, or you don't relate to gold or rings, or can you relate to 12 grams? Yeah? Is that a solid ring or not? Yes? No? Okay. So, let us say somehow or another you're there in your yard or something like that, and you know something's there, it's itching, you're doing something, and you drop it in the mud. Okay? And it's a lot of mud. You reach down and you pick it up, and there's like, you know, 150 grams of mud on that ring. Right? That ring is only 12 grams. Okay? So now do you lose all faith and all hope that this ring can ever be pure again? Why do you have that faith? You know the ring is there, but the point is, okay, there's a ring there, right? Now, what if it was a plastic ring that you got from one of those bubblegum machines? Right? You drop it in the mud and kind of, okay, well, that's it, and keep walking, right? So, that's because you know it has value, right? And you know that the cleaning process works. You take it in the house and put it under the tap and running water, it will become clean. So the point is when the ring drops in the mud, does the ring itself become contaminated? No, it's just contamination around. Right? So the soul is eternally pure, eternally liberated. There's no question of it being contaminated. Right? It's like the gold ring. It's just that it becomes covered by all these things, right? So we are not these things. We're not the contamination. It's because we identify with them and think I'll get some benefit with them. That's why the problem, that's why we're connected. When we give up, like Yayati, that there's any benefit in it, then we're not controlled by it. We go beyond the modes of nature. You understand? So that's why it says about faith. The faith develops. So when we have solid faith, that unswerving faith that's talked about in the scripture, that's because we know that devotional service is the only process. Krishna is the only process. The living entity, its natural position is servant of Krishna. Right? Has any other process we've worked until now worked? Anything we've used up to now, has it gotten us out of the material world? No, because if it did, we wouldn't be here to be worrying about it. Right? So it hasn't worked. Right? And samsara means it goes around, means you've been in every species of life and situation that there is. Right? Does that make sense? You've done it all, I say. Does that make sense? So, but here we see as great personalities, they follow it, it works. So why wouldn't we have faith? What's your alternative? Right? How is it? Billie Eilish or something? Or, you know what I'm saying? What's your alternative? Yeah? Yeah, so that's the whole point, is it's not going to work. Other than devotional process. So that's Rupa Goswami, when he opens Nectar of Devotion, one of the first things he brings up is that someone who's advanced, one of the symptoms is they have that complete faith that Krishna will give his mercy. Because if he doesn't, who else is going to? You know what I'm saying? All these other guys, Amitabh Bachchan, maybe, you know, like that. You know, I mean, who's going to do that? Does that make sense? Yeah, so one has to understand that What's the alternative? Just from that, even on the material side, there is no alternative. So you might as well take this one, right? The Bhagavatam is full of stories of people who tried it and it worked. And we don't have one material story of anybody trying it and it working. Right? Does that make sense? I'm not sure, but I think it was the stones, they mentioned that their lifestyle, they're getting no satisfaction, right? Is that them? Yeah. And till today, they still don't have any. You know, and that's 50 years. So it doesn't work. And these are the guys that have the money, have the this, have the that. Anyone, you'll just look at their life, no one's happy. So it's not just you. Right? So the problem with sin is not that it's there. The problem with sin is its effect, that it makes one not inclined towards God consciousness. Right? The idea that, you know, the sin is going to create these reactions that are going to give us trouble, that's not the problem. Right? The problem is that the sin blocks our interest in God consciousness. So by being engaged in devotional service, then unlimited sin is going away. Just chanting the holy name, seeing the deity, serving the Vaishnavas, living in the Dham, any of these things, they just purify one of so much sin. So that means as the heart becomes more purified, then it's easier to surrender to Krishna. But that's what you have to do. Surrender is not going to happen on its own. Surrender is already surrendered. That's why they're called surrender. Right? Surrender personified is already surrendered. You understand? We have to take up that mood. Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. You mentioned about how karma works only because of the rules are followed.
Only because of?
Rules are followed.
The rules, yeah. Yes.
So like in bhakti also we have rules.
Right.
So how is following that going to give the benefit besides attraction to Krishna?
How much will following the rules in bhakti give effect?
Yeah.
And what does that have to do with the karma and rules?
Like following the rules, how important is that? Like in karma, it's the only thing you do. And
yes, because, see, in bhakti, you have bhakti. To get bhakti, you have rules. Those same rules are written into karma. So the reason the karmi is called pious, right, means who is following the Vedic literature, is that they're following the recommended practices of bhakti. Though, because it's not about please conscious of Krishna and trying to please Krishna, it's not defined as bhakti. Right? It's just karma. Does that make sense? Let us say you go into the kitchen, you cook all kinds of nice things like that, then you take them out into a shop and sell them. Right? That would be business, right? What if you go into the same kitchen, cook the same preparations, but you just sit down with your friends and eat it? Is that called business? No. But the activity of cooking is exactly the same. Right? So that's the whole point. These activities of karma that are mentioned in the Shastra, they come from bhakti. They're just the activities of bhakti. Bhakti, the primary is devotion to Krishna. The secondary is the activity. But in karma, as you mentioned, the activity itself is the primary. Because they don't have Krishna. Does that make sense? Now, why are these rules there? Right? So you'll have rules in the form of sadhana bhakti. Sadhana means practice. Right? It means if you have love for Krishna, you don't require sadhana because you already have it. Does that make sense? So you practice something that you don't have, and when you have it, you don't have to practice it. You just use it, right? So now, let us say, You're eating. Okay? You're okay with eating, or you're not freaky about eating or something? Because I mean, nowadays, sometimes the examples absolutely don't work because the person doesn't relate to them, right? Does that make sense? Okay, so you're okay with eating. Okay, now you sit down. And there you have whatever you're eating on the plate, right? You know, whatever it is, the main grain and main vegetables and other things like that. But you also have some lemon, you have some achar, you have, you know, a few things like some chutney, like this and that, okay? Now, if you're eating the sabji and it has full flavor, you don't need any achar, right? Right? Now, let's say the flavor's less, you use some achar. Or it's the flavor's okay, but there's not enough salt. You just put the salt. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, the idea of the taste, that full taste, when you're eating, you just follow that path of full taste. Does that make sense? How much sabji, how much of the other things, how much this and that, when you drink. It's just a matter of the taste. You're following that, right? So we do that spontaneously. Right? You like to do that. Right? Does that make sense? Right? It's not that, you know, you're going to eat it like this and your mother says, oh, eat it with some achar. And you say, no, I like that there's no flavor. You understand? Yeah. So you follow that path. So the point is when they have prema, that taste of love of Krishna, they just follow those things that bring out that love for Krishna. That remembrance of him, that service of him, those activities, the association, the situations, they just put themselves in those. Like Mother Jashoda, she's out there. She's in Nanda Bhavan. So now there's all kinds of opportunities to do parental stuff for Krishna. Does that make sense? You know, you put her out at midnight out, you know, at, you know, Govindastali. What does she do for Krishna at that time? You know what I'm saying? There's nothing, there's no path there for her. Does that make sense? So she's going to follow that which has that. Now the path they take in prema, right? That's called rag atmika, right? Means they're following that rag, that attachment to Krishna. Right? So Mother Jashoda, she has the vatsalya rati. So she follows that path. Right? Because she is on that path, right? So that's called rag atmika, means the raga or attachment is their life. Right? Now, people who are following in the footsteps of that, that's called rag anuga, means following the footsteps of them. Right? Then, but that means that there is some attraction, but if there's no attraction, you just intellectually understand that this is good. Then that becomes, then that's the rules of sadhana. Okay? Because otherwise you wouldn't know what to do. Mother Jashoda knows what to do. Someone doesn't have to come along and say, well, here it says in Parenting 101 here that, you know. They don't have to do that, right? So what Mother Jashoda does in service to Krishna, what the Brajabasis do in service to Krishna, that's what's documented as the rules and regulations. That's the secondary. They naturally follow that. We don't. We have to follow it because it's rules given to us. But as long as it's the rule, that's why we're following it, that's Vaidhi. When it becomes that this is the rule because this is what the great personalities do, so it's trying to please Krishna by doing this, then that becomes spontaneous. Does that make sense? And then that comes to, it goes farther and farther. Does that make sense? So without the rules, we wouldn't know what to do. We wouldn't know what Krishna likes, what he eats, how he dresses, all these different things. Because that's what's important. How we look and how we dress and how we eat actually doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? That's not the dynamic thing that takes you back to Godhead. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that you have to see how these are in connection with Krishna. So that's why we do things in connection to Krishna. Does that make sense? The reason we're vegetarians, because that's what Krishna is. And we offer things to Krishna and take his remnants. He's vegetarian, that's why we're vegetarian. You understand? So we're following that. In the beginning, it's just rules and all that, but after a while, it's, no, this is what Krishna eats. You know what I'm saying? If we make it about what we eat, then it's not, that's, doesn't fit into one either being, oh, we're conscious. So that first part of Rupa Goswami's verse we have. Second part, that we're conscious of Krishna, that's missing. And that is free from, and is favorable to Krishna, that's missing. And is free from karma and jnana, that's all missing. But we have one out of five, you know, so we can say, you understand? So pure devotional service means the endeavor is to see that all these aspects are connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? So we don't know. We have to hear from the acharyas. They give. And they're giving simply things that they do in the spiritual world. Right? Does that make sense? All the things that are mentioned that we do, we see that they're doing in the spiritual world. In Krishna's pastimes in 10th canto, so much of that is just stuff we do. We may not do it on as grand a scale. Does that make sense? You know? It means Krishna goes with 16,108 wives when he goes up to Hastinapur to attain the Rajasuya sacrifice. Right? Each queen is in her own vehicle. That will have all the foot soldiers. That will have everyone else. All the, you know, huge. You're talking about millions of people going. Right, and the whole entourage and all that. Well, we just get together with our family and 15 pieces of luggage and then we try to go somewhere. Right? Does that make sense? So, but it's the same principle because Krishna is performing human pastimes. So this is what Krishna does as a human. It's that, remember, it's human pastimes, not Malecha Yavana pastimes. Right? So it's what is the recommended for humans? That's because Krishna likes to do those pastimes. So those, because he's doing human pastimes, that's what the humans do. Does that make sense? So because we can't tell what's Krishna, what's not, what's him as Bhagawan, what's his Paramatma, what's his as Brahman, the acharyas therefore give to us, the Shastra gives to us, and we follow that. We don't make it up. Does that make sense? Then it works. And if we don't follow that, then, you know, it won't work for us. Does that make sense? Yeah. Something else? Or? Yes. In the back there.
Maharaj, in this description of Mahajayati, it seems that he goes from a gross materialist to a pure devotee very fast. And I was trying to understand where is his bhakti actually coming from, because in other stories we see like Narad Muni or somebody comes and reminds the, you know, the personality about Krishna, but here it seems it's just somehow himself it's sprung up, or maybe it's from his previous training, or if you have any insight on that.
Yes. Well, a few things are there. As a king, as an emperor, now he's going to have, as a king, he has to follow Brahmins. Right? So now that those Brahmins may be devotees in that, then they're giving direction and all that. But because that's just part of his regular duties, we're not necessarily counting it here, because those have been explained in other places. This is, you know, ninth canto now. You're getting down to the, you're trying to split off the difference between piety and bhakti. Before that, the first six cantos, you're bringing out how piety is engaged in the Lord's service, is karma, yoga, jnana, yoga, and by this, so many great personalities became perfect. But we see in these next cantos, then they're trying to make you understand the difference that it's not the karma that's doing, it's the bhakti that is actually functioning. And then here, especially, then we're getting to, you know, the end of this, so it's not many, you know, we're almost near the 10th canto, and so you have to make it very clear there. But the point is, because we know that it's only by association this could happen, then there's most likely here that he has some association. It may not be someone like Narad Muni or that then that pastime is something like Yudhishthira Maharaj or other that would be mentioned, because that's also, I think, here in that's seventh canto. So that's there. Or, as I said, from previous life, but then you wouldn't necessarily see. He has to get trained. He's the emperor. He would have gone to Gurukul. He would have been trained. He would have been trained under Brahmins. That he's coming out with this conclusion of bhakti means there must have been some devotion there. That would be the aspect. And then we say a short time means it's his lifetime is thousands of years here he's dealing with. But so we have the same possibility within our lifetime. We start off with the gross materials, but within this lifetime we can attain to the same position he's come to. So it's by that association of devotees and following that process. And we see here is that he has material desires, he's engaging it, but connected to the rules and regulations to offer to Krishna. It's not that his sense gratification itself is what you're offering. It's the auspicious element of that you're offering. Does that make sense? Let us say someone likes to take a bath. Okay? And so in there you have the water, you have the temperature, you have, you know, whatever it is, scrubby stuff you have, and your soaps, and your, you know, just the whole, whatever it is that goes into that enjoying their bath. But what's the essence of the bath? What does it do? Clean, right? So that means then that cleanliness that you've gained from the bath, that's offered to Krishna. Then that whole bath becomes purified. Right? Or if you look at it that, no, by doing like this, then you maintain the body, you maintain health and all that, you want to throw that little spin on it. So then it's like, okay, with that health, what do you do with health? You engage it in Krishna's service. Now you're healthy, you can do active, you do it for Krishna. So the auspicious part of something is what you're offering to Krishna. That's how everything can be offered to Krishna. You just have to be able to find what is that auspicious aspect. That auspicious, the generic aspect, that's Brahman. So it's Krishna. It's his qualities that are pervading, that cleanliness that is there. It's one of his qualities. He's the supreme pure. That emanates, he has that quality, and the effulgence of that emanates from his body and spreads throughout the universe, all pervading. So that means then when you have the form, let's say of the bath, that it can manifest that quality of Krishna, then it's there. And so then we connect it to Krishna. Right? Now, the aspect of regulation of that, that's Krishna's paramatma, that we're taking our bath, we're getting up in the morning, we're taking our bath here, our noon bath or evening bath, or not taking it right after prasad, but taking it before. These kind of regulations that we're considering that, we're following the rules to please the Lord, so we're pleasing the Lord's paramatma. But ultimately, that has to be about pleasing Krishna as a person. That's why we're doing this. He's a person, and we're trying to do the things that he likes. Does that make sense? Yeah. So he's doing that and seeing that engaging the senses, it has its limited position. Does that make sense? You know, it's like for us, a feast, okay, it's something fancy we get to eat. But the point is the feast, it's not, that is there. But why it's nice is because it's something the devotees have cooked these things for Krishna, offered them to Krishna, to please Krishna. And then being a festival and putting in that extra devotion, that's what makes the feast nice. And then feasts generally are with devotees, so there's association. You know, it's connected with some programs connected to the Lord, some kirtan, some artik, some other services, some deity worship. And so that's why it's nice, is because of those direct aspects. You know? And the taste is Krishna, so it's there. But just that we're looking at, oh, I get something nice to eat, but because it's connected to Krishna, we'll get benefit. But when we see it connected beyond just the senses, how it's connected to Krishna as a person, then that's when we get the benefit like Yayati's getting. Does that make sense? So we engage the senses in the Lord's service, and then we get purified, but we have understanding that this higher principle, then we surrender. Then we can attain this. If we just said, I'm good, I'm okay, you know, We have to leave it kind of at that, because we won't say, I'm okay, you're okay. That's an old archaic thing. We'll say, I'm okay, everyone else is not quite okay. Right? They're doing what I'm doing, and they're okay. But, you know, so, you know, how you say? Archaic example won't work anymore. Right? So, you have to see it that it's about Krishna as a person. But in any case, it's about Krishna's Brahman Paramatma. You still purified, you still advance in devotion. But that brings you to the point of surrendering to Krishna as a person. You're a person, he's a person, we surrender. Does that make sense? Because that's what you're dealing with. I as a person am rendering service. Right? All the other things that are around, the contamination, the sin, all that, that's external. Does that make sense? So that's not the problem. We identify with it, so it's a problem. Right? You know, if we walk around with a rubber boot on our head or something and identify with that, then it may get into trouble. We may cause problems. It's only because we identify with it. We don't actually have to have the rubber boot on our head. We can give it up. But if we identify, I'm the most sinful, then you have to have sin to be the most sinful. You have to give it up. So when the acharyas are talking about that, they're talking about that they've forgotten Krishna. That's the important point. Not that I'm sinful and sinful is bad. It is a problem. But why is it a problem? Because we forget Krishna. So you see in the prayers of the acharyas, when they talk about how sinful they are, it's always in connection with that they're forgetting Krishna. Not that I'm sinful and sin is bad and so therefore I'm a bad person. It's always about the remembrance of Krishna. That's the problem. Because even not thinking of Krishna, then the acharyas will consider that sinful. Does that make sense? Yeah? Is that good? Yeah? Okay, so end here. Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.